All right.
Magic touch.
It's 5:15. Let's bring our meeting to order. Laura, can you do a roll call, please?
Director Sesenia.
I'm here.
Director Gatchell.
Here.
Director Ohilski.
Present.
Vice President Forcroy.
I'm here.
President Womack.
Okay, thank you. Well, good evening, everyone. We're going to start tonight with our closed session. Mr. Minery, could you announce our closed session item, please?
I will. Would you like to take a public comment prior to that?
I can do that. Is there any public comment on our closed session item for this evening?
If you'd like to make a public comment and you are on your phone, please dial *9. If you're on your computer, please raise your hand. There's no public comment at this time.
Okay, with that, let's do our announcement.
Okay, thank you. My screen just shut on me, so it's going to take me 1 second to pull it up. Your patience. Okay. What did it do? There we go. Thank you. Okay, the board will now adjourn to closed session. There is on the agenda in closed session a conference with labor negotiators pursuant to Government Code 54957.6. The agency representative is the general manager and the admin services manager and district legal counsel. And then also the employee designated representatives are represented by San Luis County Employees Association.
Excellent. So we're going to report or reconvene to open session at 6 o'clock on a different Zoom link. So if you're members of the public, that's what you're going to have to do is go to the other Zoom meeting at 6 o'clock, and we'll reconvene there and report out of closed session at that time.
All right, if you can just give me 1 second to mute and lock the meeting.
Well, it looks like I found the right meeting again.
Yes, you did.
Okay, good.
No, you're good. Nobody else has made it yet, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Super two, Matthew.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes it all goes your way.
I think it's poor Jeff is struggling with links.
Well, that's why I called Laura earlier and cheated, and she sorted me out. I remembered everything.
Yep. When in doubt, get a hold of Laura.
Come in.
Matthew, you might want to mute yourself. Oh, you did, yes. Just as you guys know, we are going live on Facebook right now.
I think we're just waiting for Marshall. Was he having pizza or something?
It was an extra large piece, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we'll give it a minute more, see if we can get Marshall back. Okay, there he is.
Yeah, sorry, I tried to sneak in dinner here, but I...
Okay, at this time, let's reconvene to open session. So I'm going to call open session to order. Laura, can you do a roll call for us, please?
Director Sesenia.
Here.
Director Gatchell.
Here.
Director Ohilski.
Present.
Vice President Forcroy.
I'm here.
President Womack.
Okay, at this time, Council Minery, can you report out a closed session for us?
Yes, the report out of closed session is that the board approved a 2.5 salary increase as negotiated by the parties. All commissioners present voted in favor of the action. Director Womack was absent.
Just for the record, we're board members, Jeff, not commissioners.
Oh. Sorry, I was talking to a commissioner.
Just wanted to clarify that it was us.
Thank you. I got confused for a second. I appreciate it.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for that report. So let's move on and move to our general action items. The first is our preliminary budget review. So Ron, can you start us off with that, please?
Thank you very much. If you want to go to the next slide, please, Laura. just to familiarize yourselves and the people watching the report format, I outline major requests, there's impacts to the budget, and then do a summary with a table that outlines the cost increases or decreases as given. Next slide, please. I did want to say that the Utilities Advisory Committee reviewed Fund 500 and 800 at their April 21st meeting and recommended approval, as well as the Finance Committee reviewed all the budgets at their May 3rd meeting with a recommendation for approval as well. So with that, we'll jump in. Kind of following the report, I wanted to talk about Zone A property tax allocation very quickly. Zone A property tax is a designated tax allocation derived from property taxes collected community-wide. That means that the money does come into the county, and then it is allocated out as Zone A money, which is a designation of tax allocation from the community-wide base. And that these funds are budgeted during the budget process and are at the discretion of the board. And with that, we're gonna move into a little bit of a discussion about what the board would like to do with Zone A property tax this upcoming fiscal year. Next slide, please. This is what our allocation is for the current fiscal year. As you can see right now, the tax estimation was $262,700. The board decided to divide that up at the percentages in subsequent amounts over there on the right-hand side. So I did have three different options, and I want to clarify that these are only options, and the board has the discretion to modify or make different selections. So with that, go to the next slide. Option one, this would be similar to what we have this year, allocating at these percentages and the subsequent increases because the estimated tax revenue this year is about $272,000. This would be consistent again like what we did this year. But coming up for Fund 900, this year we had the Feral Pathway Project slated to start, which we may, depending on the action we take later in this meeting. But this upcoming year, we don't have any big projects slated. So next slide, please. The board could decide to go more at a level of 50-50 with fire, Fund 301, and water at Fund 500. We do have some big projects coming up in Fund 500. On the flip side, we could do something that the board has done in the past and allocate more towards fire and a lesser degree to water. And it could be a combination of any of what I've just presented. So with that, I'd like to open it up to board discussion on this particular matter before we move on.
Okay, I have a quick question, Ron. So Zone A, those funds are coming from the entire community, not just the water district.
Yes. I did look into that. I was curious about the history on not only Zone A funds, but Zone D and F. And it's an allocation that when we were a CSA 9 and the county ran the operations out here, they carved out from that community-wide property tax base monies to support operations in Los Osos. But it is a community-wide paid tax. So if you're in Zone A, you do not see a Zone A tax on your property tax bill.
Okay, got it. So basically, Zone A would match up a lot with our district boundaries?
Zone A actually matches up exactly with our water service area boundary. And again, the other zone taxes we get, D, matches up with Cabrillo Estates, and F with the Bay Ridge neighborhood.
Okay.
So this is residual from when the county was doing operations out here, and this is a way for them to subsidize those operations within those areas.
Okay, so I'm confused again. Zone A is not everything in Los Osos, it's just the CSD water district.
Right, and if you go back to the way I kind of presented it, because I had to try to word this so it'd be understandable. It's a designated tax allocation derived from the community-wide tax base. So what the county did, this again is a throwback to the county.
Yeah.
That when they were running the water operations, they formed a Zone A, but it's only related. The revenue came based on, okay, let me step back. We get a 1% property tax allocation for the entire community.
So what they did from that community-wide tax allocation to run the water system back in CSA 9, they used the portion of the community, which is the water service area, Zone A, to determine how much money would be taken out of the whole pie to help support those services. Does that make sense? It's paid by everyone, but it was derived from a portion of the community to support county services. Got an echo there.
Kind of exciting.
That was cool. Is this the 1960s?
I don't know. It was cool.
I'm kind of feeling it. Okay, it looks like the echo's gone. So I know it's a little bit hard to understand, but basically it was a way for the county, not the CSD, we inherited these areas and the property tax from them. And we have in the past allocated, if you recall, that a lot of the Zone A question was, well, since everyone pays it, we shouldn't just use it in water. And so over the last few years, we have decreased the allocation to the water fund, Fund 500. And in a bit, that's what my recommendation is gonna be for Zone F, which is the Bay Ridge money, that it kind of be redirected into a more community-wide type of allocation.
Zone A is paid by everyone.
I'm sorry. So the bottom line is, if you're in that area, the water service area, which is Zone A, you are not paying an extra tax, a Zone A tax. Again, it's something that's a residual from when we were a county service area.
Okay, so it's still everybody's paying into that $271,996.
Correct.
Got it. Okay, perfect. Thanks for that history lesson. There's a lot going on there.
I was curious about it, and when I started looking into it, I really needed to be able to understand it myself. And it is a hard one to explain, so I apologize if I was a little confusing there. So going back to the Zone A allocation, I'd like to hear what the opinions are of the board members on how we would like to allocate the money this year. Again, I gave you three kind of general concepts. One would be to keep it similar to what it was this year. And then two other examples of the way, if we didn't want to go to Fund 900, I'm not saying we shouldn't, but a way to allocate it in two different manners, one equally maybe between water and fire, and the other more towards fire. And the percentages can be whatever we decide.
This is Chuck. So no consideration to provide any of this funding to drainage? Is drainage were that well taken care of? I know you talked about Zone F maybe going there, that kind of thing. Because I all along have been a proponent of spending this money where it benefits the entire community, since the entire community pays in. So it's hard for me to continue supporting sending it to water, because we do have a way for the water customers to pay for their services. And if we don't have any parks and rec projects coming up, maybe it's because we haven't really examined ways to do that kind of thing in this community, because we haven't had funding for it. So those are my preliminary thoughts.
Okay.
And I was going to ask about the parks and rec as well on the trail that we're doing. I know we got the bids. Do we have enough money to cover that, or do we need more funding for that out of this?
We do have enough funding for it. Again, if you could just back up to the first option. So the only reason I said that we could allocate it differently is that, you know, we do have a big water project coming up, Program C, that will benefit the entire community, though, you know, I understand how people would say, well, I'm a Golden State customer and I'm still paying full freight for, you know, basin plan management. But, you know, 50% of the community does pay into the Zone A money. But the flip side, right now, we don't have any, you know, we're continuing work on the dog park. There may be opportunities. The problem with our Parks and Rec budget in general is even if you probably took this whole $272,000, it would be a stretch to have an ongoing way to maintain facilities if that's the direction we're going. If we do construct the feral pathway, we will then need to maintain it. And so we will need money in the future to do that maintenance. So the Parks and Rec are a tough one, but it's really up to the board discretion on how we move forward. And I'm not advocating against Parks and Rec by any means.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Matthew. I think, as far as the pathway is concerned, we have in our Fund 900 in the reserves, we have plenty of money to cover that project. Ron's right, though, that as we develop more Parks and Rec facilities, basically, we're going to have to start allocating money for maintenance. So I do think, if the CSD is going to engage in Parks and Rec and facilities, at some point, we're going to have some ongoing funds going for maintenance that just come every year. Because without that, basically, we really can't have those opportunities. I also do agree that going forward, even with the dog park, with the money that's in Fund 900 plus even a portion or a large portion of Zone A in 1 year, I think, you know, those are going to be, I think the dog park is going to end up costing more than we're thinking. I think the community is thinking. I mean, our trail, simple trail is fairly expensive, let alone a whole park. So I'm not sure that that Zone A is going to be the answer if we have large projects that need that the community is interested in that need funding. I think there's going to have to be another funding mechanism for large projects at some point. So I guess I would advocate that we get in the habit of putting something towards Parks and Rec and call that maintenance money. I don't think it needs to be anywhere near 17.5% this year, but I would like to see something go there just for ongoing maintenance and to keep at least be able to pay staff, the portions that the staff revenue comes out for all of our meetings and whatnot, just to keep that fund whole, essentially.
I agree of putting some money towards Parks and Rec for those reasons.
So it sounds like we're moving towards this model. Do we have any suggestions on the percent allocation, something similar or a movement of more to fire, a decrease in water and a decrease to Parks and Rec? Is that what I'm hearing? Or keep water about the same, maybe a little more to fire and a decrease to Parks and Rec? That's kind of what I'm hearing as options right now.
This is Matthew. I'll speak to that. I mean, I think that we should be putting, keeping fire close to that 47.5. I'd like to see a decrease in parks and an increase into water. I know that's not the whole community, but I do think that at least part of it, part of that money is from being paid by the water customers, and I think We are going to need some help with Program C. So I think I'd advocate for something on the order of quick mental math here.
And you can be approximate math.
Maybe seven. I'm thinking if we could put 20,000 towards parks. So I think that's around 7%, maybe 7.5% to Parks and Rec. And then split that 10%, maybe 5, and put water at 40, and then add another 5 to fire.
Matthew, could you repeat that? Because I lost track. I got the 7 for the Parks and Rec, but it didn't seem to add up in my mind. So,
okay, I'm saying 7.5% Parks and Rec, okay. And then that removes, that's basically 10% less than last year. So right. I'm advocating we take split that 10%, okay, and put 5% in water, 5% more in fire.
Okay, I see. You're saying the 10 we just split in half between 301 and 500. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank
you. That's my idea.
Now I understand. I'm sorry, I missed it the first time.
No, that's okay. Anybody else's thoughts on this? Okay, go for it.
Yeah, I appreciate that discussion, Matthew, and Ron, because it is very tempting to want to expand the whole Parks and Rec facilities, everything in this town, and yet we need to be careful there, the maintenance aspect of it. Are we going to compete with the county, who has some responsibilities there? So I appreciate that whole discussion. And then the whole idea that water and the Program C and all of that actually benefits the entire community. I kind of like what Matthew's just suggested.
Yeah, excuse me. I agree with both Matthew and Chuck. I think that makes sense.
We're gonna end up with a motion here, correct? So I should go to public comment before that happens.
One last thing. Yep. So Ron, we're good with drainage. You think drainage doesn't need to be part of this discussion?
No, not at this point. Drainage has been very good the last 2 years because of the lack of rainfall. We have a few, and we'll see that budget here shortly. But we just have a few minor projects on really basin cleanup and small projects.
Okay. Yeah, let's go to public comment.
Matthew, I'm not sure if you want, we have the motion planned to be after Ron's right. presentation with the budget. Oh, okay. And we could go to public comment at that time for both the budget and the Zone 8 discussion.
No, I'd like to break that up. Let's take public comment on the Zone 8 discussion here.
No problem. If you'd like to make a public comment and you're on your phone, please dial *9. And if you're on your computer, please raise your hand. All right, Julie, you just have to unmute yourself.
Good evening, Julie Tacker, and interesting discussion, folks. I lean much more towards fire. I think less to Parks and Rec, no more to water. Water needs to support itself. We've been at this a long time, taking the property tax and giving it to water for far too long, and water needs to support itself. So whatever numbers you choose, I hope that you could reconsider any additional allocation to water. That's it.
There's no other public comment at this time.
Okay, thank you. Okay, can we continue on this agenda item with the next part of the discussion then?
Great, thank you very much for that conversation. Where are we? Next slide would be the Fund 100. Fund 100, our increases in this are personnel cost related. I am recommending a 2% increase for our administrative services manager position. The other increases come from adjustments to my wage and salary benefit. If you recall, We moved, decreased my benefit for health insurance and increased my wages. And then there were some other adjustments to the general benefits costs, which are reflective of some of the increases. Another concept I wanted to have the board weigh in on, as you know, we are gonna have some costs coming up for districting as required by the California Voting Rights Act. We're estimating that to be around 45.
Studying up, man.
That is going to be somewhere between $45,000 and $50,000. What I'm proposing is that we do have fund balance in Fund 100, and it's unrestricted. And it's basically the savings we saw from not having an election last year or this fiscal year. And by doing that, it'd be like using what I'd call a reserve, even though it's not a designated reserve, but using that money to offset the cost of the districting expenses. And that way it doesn't hit the cost allocation plan and that the other funds have to absorb some of those costs. So I thought that it would be a good use of that cash and then also help the cost allocation expenses as well. I don't know if you would like to have a brief discussion on that, since this is kind of a new nuance that I'd like to have resolved.
Yeah, and I'd like to add to that, Ron, that the FAC did have an extensive discussion about this. They were fine with the administrative manager, et cetera. The only thing that they had issues with was the same thing about the $45,000 to $50,000 for the districting expense, because that just seemed to be an absurd amount. But they were very, very supportive of the salary adjustments, et cetera.
Not give up. Yeah, she could have easily said, yep, I'm on.
So anyway, I just wanted to give their input on this item.
Thank you. Any other thoughts by the other board members on this? Just the concept of using this fund balance in Fund 100 to help pay those expenses.
Yeah, I mean, this is Matthew. I think that, you know, going with the FAC thought on that, it seems like that's
so
a good idea.
Paul, your speaker keeps unmuting, just a heads up.
Okay. Any other comments on Fund 100?
Okay. Next slide, please. So the impact to the budget salary and wages will increase by about $20,000. Total personnel costs go up about 5.2 at $18,100. We did cut from our services and supply budget by about 22,000. And so we will see hopefully a net decrease. I mean, there's still some costs that we'll have to sort out, but we're looking at a pretty flat Fund 100 budget this year. Now we were trying to hold it so our cost allocation didn't come or go up. Next slide, please. So here's the summary chart. You'll see in some of these tables, the numbers in red, which are the ones that may change before you see this budget in a final budget in June. And that's really based on decisions and other revenues as we go through the other budgets. Next slide, please. And then at this point, this is what the cost allocation plan looks like. I think we're gonna be able to hold it. So that's our intent, to keep this at about $661,000 for Fund 100. Are there any questions about Fund 100 before we move on? If not, we'll move on to Fund 200. And this is where I was going to propose another change, that we move the Zone F money, which is about $11,000, to Fund 800, because the Bay Ridge area has its own special tax assessment which is similar to Vista de Oro or Fund 100. But Vista de Oro has never received any subsidy funding from any zone money. So this would pretty put it on par with the Vista de Oro area. And it's really right now, all they're paying for is lighting and administrative overhead. So the overall.
Ron, I'm really sorry, you got muted.
Okay, now can you hear me? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so the overall impact to the Fund 200 budget is really a decrease because we did pay off the interfund loan. Go to the next slide, it'll be easier to show. So the budget is going to drop down to about $10,300. We are going to ask for a little bit added revenue because with the paying for the street lighting, PG&E does have some rate increases coming up. We want to make sure we can cover. I put this in red up at the revenue because that's minus the $11,000. So our special tax assessment would be for $12,400, which is well below what they did. As you can see over in the budget, it was about $25,400 last year. So they're still going to see a drop in their special tax assessment. Any comments on the idea of moving that Zone F money? Again, because this is a new idea. If not, we'll move on to Fund 300. Now this is interesting. We were up to the wire on getting this budget into the prelim budget because Cal Fire was slow to respond on the Schedule A, which is our labor cost of our contract with them, which kind of kept in limbo what our staff up at the fire station were thinking they could do with their overall budget. But that said, the Schedule A costs are going to remain the same as fiscal year 2021. And as you can see down in my note at the bottom of the slide, our estimated Zone B revenues increased by about 2% or $48,400. Our special fire tax should go up by 1.74%. So that's another $10,400. And pretty much the major requests are in services and supplies. And we have some unfunded accrued liabilities for retirements, which are noted there in the impact to the budget. Next slide, please. And really the service and supplies are just for miscellaneous things within the 301 budget. Really it's upkeep up at the fire station and some other minor projects that they have going up there. Now, I highlighted the revenues because we are talking about those tonight, and those will get finalized in the final budget, of course. They had in the fire budget, they had indicated a decrease in the capital outlay, even though we haven't officially purchased our fire truck, which is going to be a significant capital outlay. I'm going to talk to them about how we should handle that. In terms of how that looks in the budget, we've just been carrying over that capital outlay budget. As you can see in this fiscal year, it was $805,000. So I may change that just to reflect. So when we do have that fire engine expense hit, we can reflect it the way it should be in the financials. And then with the Schedule A budget being flat, I am going to see if we can recommend to bring our reserve contributions up, especially in the vehicle replacement fund. Are there any questions about our fire budget? Oh, thank you. And here's the reserves as we have them now. As you can see in the replacement reserve, we have a little bit over $1 million, but we have those significant vehicle replacements coming, though our sinking fund shows those vehicles being replaced and how we will replenish it over time.
This is Matthew. So we were carrying the $805,000 for the truck purchase. this last year.
That's what we've done for the last two budgets, actually.
So we're going to put that into reserves then?
No, we're not going to put it into reserves. I just wanted to reflect it as an expense in the budget. So when we do, because we will take money out of reserves to purchase that truck, obviously.
Okay.
And so what I'll be, when that finally hits, I'll be coming to you to request reserves.
Oh, okay. I see.
To pay for it, and it'll become a revenue then.
I'm with you. Okay. Thank you.
And we'll balance everything out that way.
And I guess just one comment on the fire that came up in the emergency services committee. You know, our station is pretty busy. Someday in the future, we need to think about if we need a larger station or a second station. So not that we have to have this discussion now, but thinking about that from a reserve standpoint and how we would fund that. I don't know what that future date would be, but it was something that was brought up in the committee, and I just wanted to relay it here.
Thank you for bringing that up, because that is something as a district we're going to have to keep our radar, keep that on our radar, because it's absolutely true, not only that we may require additional employees, you know, firefighters and an extra truck, but really our facility up there is very, very old, and we may need to do a facility assessment on it and see what kind of condition it's actually in and what kind of repairs and or remodel it may take. So that is something that ESAC is looking at. So thank you for bringing that up.
Ron, this is Chuck. Is there a reason that the truck has taken so long to purchase? I mean, this seems like it's going on for a long time.
Yeah, you know, I don't have a good answer for you, Chuck. Supposedly, our truck is in a pool of, I think, three fire trucks that have been ordered. And it's just, I don't know if it's COVID related. You know, that seems to be what we blame a lot of things on, but I'm not sure. What I've been told is they're thinking it should be here by August or September.
Paul is on the line, and he can answer that question as well.
Oh, great.
Yeah, as far as the delay on the vehicle, it is COVID related. There was a lot of shutdowns with the factory and slowdowns with the factory. We have been given notice that our mid build is coming up, and we'll probably be going back to check it out in mid to late June. And then I've been told it's about 60 days after that before we take delivery of the vehicle. So as far as 2 years out, I can't really speak to that because I wasn't here yet. But in this last year, COVID definitely related.
Thank you. I thought it might be supply chain issues. That seems to have hit everywhere. I'm just so proud of the fact that we're paying cash for this thing that I want it to show up in our lot.
Thank you, Chief Province. I didn't see your name there. So any other comments on Fund 301 before we move on? Okay, next please. Vista de Oro, really absolutely no changes here. They still do have an interfund loan outstanding. I believe that is supposed to be paid off by the end of the next, or the 22-23 fiscal year. So that'd be June 30th, 2023. Next slide. So basically there's no changes. As you can see, the revenue here is from the special assessment, which has not changed for a number of years. Once that interfund loan is paid off, we'll see a decrease there. Any comments on Fund 400? Okay, next please. 500. Like I said, Utility Advisory Committee spent some time on this. I'll run through the proposal and, you know, our major requests. Our salaries and wages are dependent on the SLOSIA MOU extension, which we had the closed session on tonight. And we'll need to have it ratified by our employees before it's official. We are asking for an increase in our capital outlay budget for the upcoming program Seawell and tank refurbishment, which I'll show in a minute. And we are replacing one of our last old trucks in our fleet. I believe it's about 20 years old. This upcoming fiscal year. With that, we were able to reduce our services and supply budget by about $64,500. Most of this was in our repair and maintenance budget for wells and water distribution. We had, of course, a lot of issues with our wells this last year, which caused us to have that budget increased. That will now come down, but we will see about a 3.2% or about $117,000 increase for that the upcoming fiscal year over this fiscal year. Next slide. Quick review of our capital projects. We'll move from our program C well planning phase into the construction phase. We will have some money left over from this fiscal year that will go into fund balance and help pay for those projects. As you recall, at mid-year, we deferred our SCADA project. So there'll be leftover funds as well to help pay for our new projects. 8th Street well construction will proceed. I will be back in June with a bid package for that project with updated costs. We had some good news on the actual construction isn't going to increase much, but we will have some redesign and some other costs associated with that that will increase it some. And like I said, I'll be back in June with that project. Of course, we have our program C well that's going to proceed. The south tank of our two 16th Street tanks will be up for rehab, and then we'll have our utility truck replacement, unit H. Next slide, please. So again, the red numbers will be adjusted after tonight for our revenues and then the decision on personnel and how that plays out. With that, are there any questions? Our reserves are healthy. Capital outlays at about $2 million. We have another over $1 million in our general checking, which isn't reflected here. So we are doing well revenue-wise and cash on hand. So are there any questions on Fund 500? If not, let's move on. If you don't mind, let me take a quick drink of water. Fund 600, this is really a pass-through budget, basically. We just received the cost proposals from MBS. We know what our US bank fees are, but basically I think we're gonna see a decrease in this budget, but again, it's just pass-through costs for MBS, US Bank, and our cost allocation to this fund. So that one will be cleaned up for the final budget and probably ready next week as we evaluate the proposal. Next slide. Drainage, very minor increases in service supplies. It's mainly for regulatory fees and some basin maintenance. Also, this is where I proposed some revenue enhancements with Zone F, which is about $11,000. There's basically a overall decrease in the budget, and that's mainly due to the deferral of the SCADA project. Next slide. As you can see, we would have a change in the revenue. But this one, the drainage, like I said, for the last couple of years has been pretty flat on expenditures just because we haven't had any major storms. We don't have any major projects in the works, but it'll be good to build this fund up as we move towards that SCADA project. And I will be back probably in the first quarter of next fiscal year to recommend some of the fund balance go into reserves. Any questions on drainage? Okay, if not, let's move on. Here's the drainage reserves. And like I said, we'll probably be recommending some increase in the reserves amount. Next slide. Parks and Rec, as we discussed, there's no major request for funding at this point, though we will be spending money if the board approves the Feral Pathway project, which will be expenditures in this year. And like I said, as far as the revenue, next slide, the Zone A revenues were still to be determined. So we will see changes in that revenue amount there. And I will probably need to, now this slide's off a little bit, sorry. I'll probably need to, that transfer should be capital outlay. I'm not sure what happened to that slide. That 58 may have to go up to 60 because I think when I was doing the calculations, I didn't have the permitting cost in this number, but it will be in the number that you see later this evening. Next slide, please. And here are the reserves for parks. And as you can see, we do have adequate funds in here as we move forward. Any question on the park and recs budget, Fund 900? Okay, next slide. That's the end of the presentation. So if there's any more discussion about some of my proposals in here, if not, we are recommending that you provide the direction on those allocations and that we set that public hearing date for June 3rd.
Okay, not hearing any more discussion on this. I'm gonna open up for public comment once again on all the different funds that we-
If you'd like to make a public comment and you are on your phone, please dial *9. And if you're on your computer, please raise your hand. All right, Julie, you're allowed to speak.
Good evening again, Julie Tacker. And my question, is really a Fund 500. Ron makes it sound like everything's okay, but in the previous discussion, Director Forcroy spoke to shortfalls in Program C, and I don't know how you can have it both ways. So I'd like to understand that better. If Fund 500 is doing okay, then why do you want to add more property tax of allocation to 500? That's my only question. Thank you.
There's no other public comment at this time.
Bring this back to the board. Does anybody have any more discussion about that?
No, I just, again, I wanted to reiterate that the FAC, when we had the discussion on this on Monday, was supportive of the budget with that one concern expressed about the redistricting amount.
Okay, great.
This is Chuck. I appreciate Matthew, your discussion, your frank discussion about Parks and Rec. I'm torn about the Zone A because it has been in my mind that water should support water, and that property taxes that are paid by the community at large should support the community at large. And yet the Program C well is a big deal. We seem to be doing well. I guess at this point, I'm ready to accept your thoughts about allocating the Zone A money reduced to Parks and Rec and split between water and fire. But I don't know how much longer. This is just a whole shift for me because I've been adamant about moving Zone A money out of water, and yet the Program C wells benefit the whole community. Everything that we do does. So I think I'm tending toward Matthew's recommendation.
This is Matthew. Ron, could you speak to that? You know, the funding for that well and how that's, when that's going to hit potentially, and how we're going to pay for it.
Yes. We're putting together, we're wrapping up the environmental document. We should have that posted here shortly. So that'll wrap up the environmental phase. We will then go and have to apply for a minor use permit, and there'll be unknowns in that process. We are working on the bid documents, the specifications for the well, and developing the engineering estimate for that. So right now in this upcoming fiscal year in that capital plan, you saw $750,000 budgeted for, that's just the drilling of the well and hopefully the improvements to the site. Those are the unknowns. We're seeing in this bid climate that even the improvements to the site, which would be a building, some hardscape, surfaces, landscape, fencing, those are the unknowns. I think I've told you that, yes, we're healthy now. We're continuing to be able to pay as we go, but we may need a rate increase as well coming up possibly next year, next fiscal year, not this upcoming one. So as much as I'd like to say, yeah, everything's not, you know, doing great, we are, but we haven't experienced the kind of expenditures that we're coming to, because once we get the well drilled and up and operational, we still have to build a pipeline that is about 3,500 feet. And again, we'll have an equally expensive or more project in that coming up. So I like to say that we're doing well, but that said, we will need rate increases, and we absolutely need to have our cash flow, because we have the tank projects, you know, as well hitting us right now, and we can't delay the repairs on those. So, you know, Julie's right. I say, yeah, the cash flow is great, but we have a lot of unknowns coming up, and that's where I think the decision of the board is, where's that money best spent for the community?
Thanks, Ron. Okay, is there any other discussion, or are we at the point where we might have a motion about Zone A? We're gonna need to have a decision about Fund 100, or is that just part of accepting this budget as is?
I think it's accepting as is. Okay. I'd like a direction specifically on Zone A and proposal on Zone F property tax revenue.
Okay.
And that can be a general consensus, I believe, because you'll see the final budget at your June meeting.
Right. So we're just giving you direction today, not
right.
But not implementing anything. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
I'll just be incorporating the numbers into the final budget.
Well, I agree with what Matthew said, and then I agree with what Chuck said. So I'm on, I agree with those two direction items. I think those were the two major items.
Yep. So this is Matthew. I think, I'm comfortable with the Zone F going to Fund 800 and breaking down the Zone A allocation with the 7.5% to parks and adding 5% more to water and 5% more to fire.
I'll second that. That's Chuck.
Thanks, Chuck.
Is Matthew allowed to make the motion since he's leading the meeting?
Yes, that's fine.
I wondered about that.
That's fine.
Thank you, Jeff.
Okay, I make a motion that we allocate Zone A property tax to 7.5% parks, add additional 5% to water, additional 5% to fire, and accept this budget as is, and approve Zone F dollars going to Fund 800.
Vice President Forkway, would you like to include the setting of the public hearing for June 3rd?
I would. And to set the public hearing for June the 3rd. Thank you.
So your motion is to provide direction to staff to implement those two things and then set the public hearing, correct?
Correct. To provide direction.
I'll second.
Okay, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Vice President Forcroy?
Yes.
Director Sesenia?
Yes.
Director Gatchell?
Yes.
Director Ohilski?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Moving on, our second general action item, general action item B, to adopt a resolution regarding district fees. General Manager Munz, do you have a presentation on that?
I do. Let me skip over to my notes here. Yes, now the LOSO CSD fee schedule has not been modified for many, many years. And per government code statutes, we do have the ability to raise those fees based on a cost analysis of time spent on each fee. So basically what we're looking at is we've done the analysis, taking how much staff time it takes to do whatever service, time the average wage of that, the personnel doing that service to come up with our fee. Next slide, please. We are proposing three new fees. One's an application penalty fee, which is basically, as you know, in Title II, property owners are ultimately responsible for any water bill associated with their property. We've had difficulty in obtaining property owner information. This fee is proposed to help recoup the time it takes once a property owner is non-responsive to help cover those costs. Our next fee is a lien fee. As you know, we have the ability to lien properties once a year for delinquent water bills. Typically, this hasn't been much of an issue, but we have seen an increased workload surrounding these types of properties. And so we're proposing a fee to recoup the cost of the time it takes to process the paperwork and submit the balances to the county for assessment. And finally, something we have started to use again is using collection agency to help us recoup costs for final bills and that have not been paid and people have either sold the property or left the area. And this again is a fee to help us recoup some of those unpaid accounts and the cost of going to the collection agency. And we only get cost recovery of 60% once it goes to the collection agency. So those are three proposed new fees. Next slide, please. The fees that are going up are here on this slide. I did want to point out that one member of the Finance Committee did feel that because of some of the fees, like the water meter flow test fee and the backhoe mini excavator hourly fee, because they were increased so dramatically that we might want to do a phased in approach. But what these do, the proposed fees do reflect our actual costs. We did not have an increase in our activation fee, and we actually saw a decrease in our fire when we have to do flow test or provide flow test information for fire development tests. Next slide, please. So with that, I'll answer any questions, and here's the recommendation before you tonight.
Great, does anybody have any comments or questions about this item?
I'd just like to add to what Ron said about the FAC. I think, Ron, there was two sides of that discussion about phasing it in. The other side of the discussion was that the rest of the community is subsidizing this, and that's not fair to them. So I just wanted to give the other side of that discussion point that was out there.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I've got to say that getting a backhoe excavator out for $180, good luck. Try that. You know, if you hired someone just to come out, I don't think the increases are exorbitant. I think they're in line, and except for maybe the very first one, non-responsive property management agencies, I would wholly support this kind of sticking it to them. But anyway, that's another issue.
Okay, great. Can we open this for public comment, please?
If you'd like to make a public comment and you're on your phone, please dial *9. And if you're on your computer, please raise your hand. There's no public comment at this time.
Okay, let's bring this back to the board. Do we have a motion on this agenda item?
Yeah, I'd like to make that motion that's on the screen right now. I move that the board adopt resolution 2021-10 to update the LOCSD fee schedule as proposed in Exhibit A.
I will second that. This is Chuck.
Great. Can we have a roll call vote, please, Laura?
Director Oholsky.
Yes.
Director Sesenia.
Yes.
Director Gatchell.
Yes.
Vice President Forcroy.
Yes. Okay, moving on. General action item C, award bid and approve cost for Farrell Avenue Pathway Project. I'll hand this over to General Manager Munns.
Thank you very much. Just a quick background, the Parks and Rec Advisory Committee and staff and the board have been working on this project for over a year and a half. The pathway will provide a significant improvement to pedestrian and bicycle connection between the north and south sides of town. As you know, this is an unimproved path right now, which is heavily used. The board did authorize going out to bid back in October because of the COVID slowdown in the planning and building department at the county. It took us a significant amount of time to get through their processes, which resulted us in not getting the bid out till early March of this year. Next slide. We did get three bid results back. As you can see, the top three there were relatively close. So we felt comfortable that this was the market price for the project. We had the one outlier, but that gave us some confidence in what we were receiving were valid bids and the reason for bringing it to you for approval. Next slide, please. Some of the highlights that we had in the staff report, which are in this table here, is that, you know, it looks like asphalt base was in all the bids was very high, much higher than we had anticipated. The split rail fence came in much higher, and we didn't have a mobilization cost estimated in our bid document or in our estimates. And so that was added as well. So our initial bid estimate was $31,900. As you can see, the low bid came in at $49,440. Next slide, please. So with that, any questions? I know it's quite a bit more money than we had envisioned, but that's looks like the cost of doing business these days to build this sort of project. And with that, I will answer any questions.
Well, this is Matthew. I just wanted to point out that we had three bids that were very, very close to each other. And I think this is a sign of what's coming on escalation on construction projects going forward from even a year ago. So I think we're gonna be surprised by numbers here in the next while. Does anybody have any questions, comments on that? Okay. Can we open it for public comment then?
If you'd like to make a public comment and you're on your phone, please dial *9. And if you're on your computer, please raise your hand. All right, Julie, you're able to speak.
Good evening again, Julie Tacker, and this project gives me some great heartburn. And I've asked you to do a cost-benefit analysis, do some kind of count to see how many people use that trail, how many people would be estimated to use the trail if it were improved, so that you get some idea of the value of the money that you are anticipating to spend here. I think the cost is exorbitant. I think we've been burned already by the wood chip replacement project. It's very unlikely we're ever going to see that money again. And that project actually had a real cost benefit, The whole community is enjoying it. But I just really would ask that you reconsider the project. It's what, Jeff?
More money. It's going to cost more.
Yeah, and it's likely, because it's not complete, that the bid will go over. You know, that's the other thing that's in the bid climate right now, is that bids come in at one price higher than you expect, but then the contractor comes back to you with change orders and more money requested. So I wish your board would have a healthy discussion about this, and you know, this is the people's money, and put the brakes on the project. You don't have to build it. Just because you've invested some time and money into it, you do not have to build it. Thank you.
There is no other public comment at this time.
Okay, I'm going to bring it back to the board for any further discussion or a motion if we're ready for something like that.
This is Chuck. I've got to say, I support this project, connecting the north and south ends of town. My preference would be that we were involved in constructing some sort of pathway between 4th and Ramona and the end of Farrell, but that's way beyond the scope of, you know, property ownership and all that. This is a way to link the community, and I don't think it's incredibly expensive. The cost of construction this past year is up. There is no doubt about that. I've done some major projects around the house. I don't think this is out of line at all. And I support it. And I move that the board approve the three steps in the motion in front of us.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and second that, because I've been over there a lot recently and I see a lot of people using that pathway, and it is a much safer connection instead of people having to go down to Los Osos Valley Road and around. So, or pardon me, 10th Street and Los Osos Valley Road and around. So I totally support this.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, this is Matthew. I support this project wholeheartedly. I think it's a great improvement for the community, and I think it's a great step for our district to engage in adding to the Parks and Rec opportunities that we have. I think, you know, I really wanted to give a lot of credit to our committee, because they've been diligently working on this project for at least 2 years, 2.5 years. I think it's a good nod to the committee to end up with a shovel ready project that could be built here shortly. So with a motion and a second, can I have a roll call vote, please?
Director Sesenia.
Yes.
Director Ohulski.
Yes.
Director Gatchell.
Yes.
Vice President Forcroy.
Yes. Okay, moving on to public comment for items not on the agenda.
If you'd like to make a public comment for an item not on the agenda, please press *9 or raise your hand. There's no public comment.
Okay, seeing no public comment, we'll move to administrative and committee reports. Chief Province, now it's your time to give us the fire department report.
You hear me okay?
Yep, we hear you.
Yeah. All right, give me just 1 second. I'm juggling with chainsaws right now. Okay, so fire department report, still kind of the normal call volume that we're experiencing, still heavy on the medical calls, and just the normal run of the mill stuff. I won't break it down unless you really want me to, but it's everything's been going pretty good as far as running calls in the area. We're not seeing any spikes or any unusual activity. We're kind of starting to loosen up a little bit with the COVID-19 pandemic restrictions. So we're going to be starting getting out and doing business inspections again and getting back out in the community a little bit and getting the weed abatement inspection type stuff going on. Going down into the special programs and projects, weed abatement inspections are going to start. We're going to try and get our, we'd like to see the community trying to get stuff done by June 1st. I gave direction to the staff that I'd like to see them be a little more proactive in going after this stuff. Typically what I'll see throughout my travels in the state is that a big push comes in July, August to get all these weed abatement type inspections done. I'm not specifically speaking to Los Osos, but just in general. And then what happens is we get folks going out mowing their weeds and dry grass and they cause fires. So if we can get it out now, we have all the grass is out to seed. It's not going to grow anymore. It's still green. If we can get it cut down and get it done now, then we're going to be ahead of the game and less likely to have accidental cause of fire because people are trying to clear their properties. We have started getting an influx of phone calls for complaints on open lots and stuff like that. But we will be mitigating those as we go through our weed abatement inspections. But we are kind of making contact, just checking things as the complaints do come in. We got a community chipping event coming up, working with the Fire Safe Council, May 16th. And it's going to be located on Fairchild Way between Los Olivos Avenue and Santa Ynez Avenue. And we're putting out a press release for details, but essentially folks can haul their brush trimmings and stuff like that down to this location and we'll chip them and put them into a 40-yard dumpster and haul them off site. And then, like I said, with the relaxation of the COVID restrictions, we are actually going to be able to start doing our hiring process again for our reserves and kind of replenish our reserve program. We are looking at doing interviews and physical abilities this coming weekend. So all the candidates have been notified. We'll see who shows up. I think we're looking at potentially 10 candidates and we'll see how many of the 10 actually show up. We'll see how many make it through the physical abilities. And then once they complete their physical abilities test, they get a interview date for the or interview appointment for the following day. And then we'll have our candidate pool for who we're going to do backgrounds on and move forward with the hiring. And that would be the end of my report.
Okay, thank you very much. Any questions for the chief?
This is Chuck. Just one comment, well, two. I'm glad Chipping Days is coming back. We used to do that annually and it's been a while and it's a good thing. And thank you for the emphasis on early brush clearing. It's not unusual for a fire to start from somebody out on weed abatement issues in the middle of a hot summer day. So if you get to this early, the sparks don't fly into the dry brush. And that was a very good point. Thank you.
Yeah, and just to reiterate that, you know, mowing before 10 a.m. is really important. Fortunately, living in the coastal area, we have good humidity recoveries at night. So the grass isn't as readily available to ignite. But it's been a pet peeve of mine for a long time that we put so much emphasis as an agency to go out and really push clearing their weeds in July and August. And then the next, you know, we're getting all these fires and you get people going, well, you told me to clear my weeds. And so it's you know, now I'm in a position to give some direction to change that behavior. So hopefully, you know, through Cayucas, Los Osos, and Cambria, the areas that I oversee, we can carry that message out there and get the stuff done early.
Great, thank you. Okay, moving on to Sheriff's Department report. It looks like we have Sergeant Langston on the line here.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening.
You guys hear me okay?
Yeah, we hear you okay. Fine.
So let's go over the stats real quick. Looks like we're in the same ballpark from the same time of last year. We had 69 calls for service versus 64 last year. I tried to drill down on some of these to not just give you random numbers. So assault and battery, we only had one, and that was actually just a couple kids fighting at the skate park. Didn't amount to much. Disturbance is always our number one call we get. So it's basically just some type of disturbance, usually people yelling at each other, and then deputies get on scene and figure out what happened. A few of those resulted in warrant arrests. There was three that were the result of a domestic violence incident, so people went to jail on those. Burglary, there was two. One was at the Catholic church, and the other one was reported that someone was in the backyard, but it actually ended up being a caretaker for the property, so it wasn't actual burglary. Thefts, the majority of those were phone scams. There were some package thefts and stolen retail goods. Vandalisms, there were three. There was a report of some graffiti at Sunnyside Elementary, broken sign and some paint damage at another location. Mail theft, one. Phone scam, one. And to clarify on that, I mentioned phone scam in the theft portion. Phone scam one, that's if there's no actual loss. If there's actual loss, then it goes into the theft category. So I want to clarify that. Suspicious search were events that did not end up amounting to a crime that deputies responded to. Enforcement stops are normal traffic stops. There are 64 of those proactive driven. Preventive patrol activity, 56. What I've been trying to get the deputies to do is, obviously, we're always out and about, but if you don't log a patrol check, then it's not represented in statistics like this. So areas of concern specifically to Los Osos, like Palisades, we give that place a lot of attention. Just places where people congregate or there's known to be problem areas, the deputies make their presence known there and contact any individuals that might be causing problems and just have high visibility patrol. And as always, open to any questions anyone has.
Thank you very much for attending tonight. It's great to hear you. I know there's a lot of concern. I get asked quite a bit about Palisades, and it's great to hear that you guys have are spending some extra time down there making sure everything's happening orderly.
Thank you.
Okay. Moving on, we'll skip to the general manager report.
Thank you very much. I always do like to backtrack just a little bit into the utilities department report. As far as projects, I did already mention those as part of the budget about Program C well and the 8th Street upper aquifer well. I did want to report out that the 10th Street well is operating wonderfully. We're actually getting more production than we anticipated out of it. And we seem to have passed by the unbalanced power issue that we were having. We will be taking down the 3rd Street well here shortly for preventative maintenance in anticipation of getting into the summer season and having all our wells up and operational. With that, in my general manager's report, you know, I did want to point out to anyone that either reads or listens to our meetings that we do have, we'll help people with assistance if they're having trouble paying their utility bill, water bill, and that we urge them to call for that assistance if they need it, because we will be looking at taking delinquent bills to you, the board, to have liens placed on properties here at our June meeting. Moving on, Director Ohilski had asked for an update on the electric vehicle charging stations. That at the March 4th meeting, we had the presentation and direction from the board for staff to research the installation of an EV station. We were focused on the community center parking lot as probably the priority location to look at. After the meeting, I did reach out to Cambria Community Services District. Jackie from APCD had mentioned that they were in the process of installing two EV stations, one of which was going to be on county property. So I did talk to the general manager up there. He sent me some of their staff reports, cost estimations, people to contact at the county for, you know, looking at options of using the parking lot at the community center. I did talk with the community center representative about electricity hookup, and everything seemed positive. Some of the costs that came out of the Cambria projects were that EV stations, the eligible cost for EV stations were about a little over $17,000. and that the grant that they received would cover a little over or 60% at about $9,000. But there was also about $5,000 in permitting that the district would have to pay for. So since then, they are moving forward, and I'll be following those closely to get more information for the board. But the important thing is the board will need to identify a funding source for the work. Since this is an unbudgeted item, Cambria does have a general fund, which they funded their costs out of. And we don't have a general fund per se. So in the future, we will have to look at a way to fund a project if we decide to move forward. And then finally, of course, I want people to join our mailing list. We have a lot of information going out now on our website, on a Facebook page, and we encourage people to participate and join our list. And with that, I'll answer any questions.
Okay, any questions for Ron? Okay, let's move on then. Let's go to Chuck for a quick update on the UAC.
The UAC continues to have very valuable meetings. I really appreciate this committee. You know, right now with the community plan update, and the issue of additional dwelling units and everything water related, that there's just a lot of conversation going on right now. And I appreciate the committee and their interest in all these things. We'll hear more about basin management updates and I guess Christine isn't here to give maybe a LOCAC report. So I will say that there was an interesting water discussion at LOCAC last month, a presentation by the sustainability group. LOCAC seemed to jump right in and want to get involved, which is nice. I appreciate any kind of community meetings that we're discussing the issues that involve everyone, that we shouldn't be the only avenue for that. And we're gonna hear more in the near future about water and basin management updates and all of that. The annual report is out in draft form. Final will be out soon, so stay tuned. Thank you.
Great, thank you, Chuck. Let's move to, we've heard a bit about the FAC. Marshall, could you give us a quick update on the meeting report?
Yeah, we had, I've already talked about the other items that we had discussed at the meeting, but that the three remaining items that are on there is the, did recommend the approval of the warrants for April 2021, and they did recommend that you receive and file the financial report for the period ending March 31st, 2021. And then we'll talk a little bit later about the other item that was on their agenda, which is the audit service items, because that's on consent agenda.
Perfect. Okay, thank you, Marshall. Okay, I think that, unless anybody has an announcement.
I have outside committee, basin management.
Yep, please share about BMC.
Yeah, so we did have our meeting on March 25th. Oh, wait, this is the wrong month. I'm sorry, I missed a month. We didn't have, okay, I'm good.
Okay, and does anybody else have anything to announce about district community interest reports, attendance at public meetings? Okay. Seeing none of that, I'll get right to it. Does anybody want to pull any of the consent items?
Yes, I'm going to pull item 9F, the approval of the audit services.
Okay, we will pull 9F and put that in agenda item 10. So for now, do we have any public comment for items on the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda, except for item 9F, which will be considered in agenda item 10.
If you'd like to make a public comment and you're on your phone, please dial *9. And if you're on your computer, please raise your hand. All right, Lynette, you just have to unmute yourself.
Hi, Lynette Tornotsky. I'm on LOCAC, and I'd just like to invite everybody to our meeting on May 27th, Thursday at 7 p.m. The Basin Management Committee, Dan Heimel, will be giving a report on the Basin Management Committee status and what's going on. So if you can't make the regular meetings, please join us at LOCAC.
Okay, thank you, Lynette. Is there any other public comment?
There's no other public comment at this time.
Okay, great. Perfect. So then do we have a motion regarding the administrative committee reports and the consent agenda?
I'll go ahead and make a motion to receive and file the administrative committee reports and approve the consent agenda except for item 9F.
Do we have a second?
We have a second. I'm unmuted.
All right. Thank you. A roll call vote, please.
Chuck, I think Troy beat you on that one. So Director Ohulski.
Yes.
Director Gatchell.
Yes.
Director Zesenia.
Yes.
Vice President Forcroy.
Yes. Okay, moving to item 10, let's discuss the approval of audit services. General Manager Munns, can you lead that discussion off?
Yes, I put together a few slides in anticipation of this being pulled. Real quick, we had the Finance Advisory Committee formed a working group to evaluate the proposals that came in. It was two members of the FAC, Lisa and Sandra, myself, and our district accountant, Adrian. Next slide, please. We did receive three proposals. As you can see here, each firm did include a cost escalator for the years 2 and 3, since we are looking at a 3-year contract. Next slide, please. The working group came to the conclusion that there are two top proposals, those being Fetcher and Company and Moss, Levy and Hartzman, and that they would like that forwarded to the FAC for consideration and recommendation. When it got to FAC, the FAC pretty much had said the same thing, that boy, each firm would provide the services that we needed. But that, you know, there's pros and cons of each or concerns with each. With Fetcher and Company, they cited that it was a small independent firm, submitted a clear detailed proposal, and their schedules and hours dedicated to the audit were reasonable. Some of the concerns were that they were out of the area and how much they would be able to be in the office. Unfamiliar with the district operations, which more or less would impact district staff just because they had time spent to kind of walk them through everything. And of course, they were the highest of the three proposals, but not that much out of range. So their cost of service was higher. Next slide, please. Moss Levy, of course, are very familiar with the district. They have a proven track record. Their cost was the lowest of the three, and they would offer experience and continuity. But on the flip side, which is a major concern, was the amount of time that they have been our auditor for the district. Next slide, please. So with that, the recommendation from FAC, like I said, the top two firms are both qualified and would provide that quality service. But it really, really came down to is if the board wanted to hire a new firm to have a new set of eyes to review the district's policies, procedures, and practices. At that point, the FAC would recommend Fetcher and Company. Next slide, please. So with that, any questions that you may have, but I did put the motion up here so that the board could insert their choice. And I have the cost sitting there, so those could be inserted into the recommendation as well.
Thank you, Ron. That's very helpful. So do we have any questions or comments from the board?
Yeah, I'd just like to add a little bit about this to the discussion, because I was obviously at the FAC meeting when this was discussed. Unfortunately, the FAC did not make a specific recommendation. They just said if we wanted a new pair of eyes, we would go with Fetcher and Company. I think the concern is, you know, that Moss Levy has been doing it for a long time, and I know they're giving it to different people. So in theory, we're getting new people to look at it, but I really think I'd like to see a new pair of eyes looking at this, quite frankly, since we've had Moss Levy, who's done a great job, don't get me wrong, but I just like to move on to a new pair of eyes, because, you know, state law does say you have to have, quote unquote, a new pair of eyes, but Moss Levy's been just changing who does it in their firm. So, you know, I just think bringing in a new firm at this point might be a reasonable approach, and the cost difference is not that great.
This is Matthew. My question on this is about if we made that change to the new company, what kind of additional staff time would we expect to have to spend to get them all the information they might need, district staff time?
That's a difficult question for me to answer, since Moss Levy was here, has been here for the last two audits I've been involved in. I know that there's a lot of information that they ask staff to pull randomly, which is part of the audit procedures. And that is something that Laura and Adrian mostly do, but it's really probably to fill them in on the operations, how, who does what, our separations of duty. I wouldn't expect it to be a huge amount of time, especially maybe more the first year, and then it would go down obviously for years two and three. So, from a staff perspective, Moss Levy would be the easier choice, but we have no opinion. Both firms will do a great job. And so it's really what the board decides.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, I feel like going with a new set of eyes is a good idea also. I can support Marshall's standpoint there. Anybody else have any comments?
Yeah. This is Chuck. Having been through some tough times, I appreciate everything Moss Levy did for us, and Hartzheim did for us. They were there when board members got calls from the county auditor saying, what is going on out there? And I cannot express how much I appreciate the fact that we've straightened that out. We have turned it around. We've, as far as I'm concerned, we're totally transparent and things are good. That said, one of the reasons that you have a change every now and then is just so that you don't get too comfortable and that you have new eyes looking at things. And I think it's a good thing, and I will support it with the total understanding that it in no way expresses any kind of displeasure with the firm that's been doing wonderful audits for us.
Yeah, and I would agree with what Chuck just said, because they did turn things around for us, and they deserve a major, major pat on the back.
Yes. Yeah. I figured that some kind of bonus. It almost feels like we're not rewarding them for doing all that good work. But I honestly believe that it's probably good just to shake these things up now and then and not let things get too comfortable.
Okay.
Yep. I agree with all that too. Okay, experience in components and auditing.
Okay, thanks, Troy. Let's open this up for public comment, please.
If you'd like to make a public comment and you're on your phone, please dial *9. And if you're on your computer, please raise your hand. There's no public comment at this time.
Great. We'll bring this back to the board, and I'll look for a motion.
I'll make a motion, Matthew, with the understanding that this motion again, is nothing against Mosslevian. We really, really appreciate all the hard work that they've done for us and helping us turn around and get everything in order. But I'll move to approve a 3-year contract with Fetcher and Company for auditing services for amount not to exceed $22,000 plus 2.5% per year in years 2 and 3.
Great. Do I have a second?
Not to exceed, let me repeat that. Not to exceed $22,000 in year 1 and with a 2.5% increase in years 2 and 3. Does that make it clear?
Yes.
Thank you, Marshall.
I just read what was on the screen the second time. I'm sorry.
Okay, perfect. Okay, I have a motion and a second. Can we have a roll call, please?
Director Ohulski.
Yes.
Director Gatchell.
Yes.
Director Sesenya.
Yes.
Vice President Forcroy.
Yes. Okay, moving on. Does anybody have any future agenda items that they would like to address at this time? Okay, any closing comments? I just wanted to, replug the chipping event, May 16th, 9 to 4 at Fairchild and Los Olivos. I think that I'm excited that's back too.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was about to adjourn. So
I just wanted to give a pat on the back to the Parks and Rec Committee for all the hard work that they've done on that pathway, because I really think it is going to be a major, major improvement to our community. So I wanted to give them and you as the chair of that a pat on the back, and also appreciate the chipping day coming back. But I did want to pat Parks and Rec on the back for all the hard work on that.
Oh, thank you, Marshall. We'll need to pass that on to the committee, definitely. So we can have a celebration where we bike through the new pathway down to our building once all the restrictions are opened, right?
There you go.
Okay, everybody have a good week. Meeting adjourned.
Thank you so much. Good night.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Good night.
Thanks.